soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate y gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We're going to switch gears here. We're going to talk some Major League Soccer. First, I just want to tell you about Advantage BMW in Midtown. You go down to 1305 Gray Street. You go down there, you talk to Justin, you talk to Steven. You get into Advantage BMW. They got 97 models, 267 cars. You get all the expert advice on which vehicle is best for you. They're moving vehicles down there. It is Advantage BMW in Midtown. You get into their expert sales team, and they'll put you in the type of car that you want to be in. For me right now, it's been the SUV. In the past, I have done sedans from the 3 Series all the way up to the 5. I just kept working my way up. Love the drive of the vehicle. Advantage BMW in Midtown. Go there, ask for Justin, ask for Steven, and get into the ultimate driving machine. Longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Also, a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They're going to handle your case, whether it's a car, boat, motorcycle accident. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. Also, DynamoSoccer.com. Get over there right now. Sign up if you can. It is a soccer clinic coming up this Sunday for Kick Cancer. It's to benefit the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. I would love for more people to sign up so we can get it up to some decent numbers and we can make a great contribution to fight pediatric cancer. That's kind of our thing here. All right, before we bring our next guest on, just a quick little synopsis of the Houston Dynamo. They went down to New England 3-0. I don't know where you are, Dynamo fan, and if you want to join the conversation with Victor and I, it's 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I see a lot of comments out there. I'd like for you to talk about it tonight if you dare. All right, 42nd minute. There's a guy on New England, Dylan Barrero. Precisely the type of player the Houston Dynamo need. A winger. A guy that can beat people off the dribble. A guy that can unsettle defenses, break lines, break team shape of opponents. Just a guy that ends up on the night really hurting the Dynamo. Hits a one. He plays a 1-2. Gets his first goal, he scores. It's Brandon Bay out wide. He works a 1-2, gets a great cross in on the ground. Very subtle touch by Bobby Wood, redirects it right into the pass of Barrero, who's on the far side of the field. And as a wide winger is getting into the box to get on the end of the cross, it's 1-0. Okay, a winger getting into the box. 48th minute, right before halftime ends. Probably the best chance of the night for the Dynamo. Hector Herrera hits a curler at the end of the half. Maybe Ivan Franco had a great chance 8 minutes in off a header from a good Schmidt ball. 53rd minute, Carlos Heel. 3 Dynamo players don't close him down. You can't let the best playmaker potentially or maybe in Major League Soccer have that time and space. 3 players failed to press him. He lays on a perfect ball. Pass turns 8 players. They're now running to their own goal. DeJuan Jones picks out Bobby Wood at the back post. It's 2-0. And then 3-0, Brandon Bay gets this goal. Barrero off the dribble. He's twisting and turning players. He gets the cross in. And that's the third goal on the night. It's a night where if you go and look at the data, you'll say, well, the data doesn't, maybe lie here because it looks as though the Dynamo data-wise are okay. Yeah, this was a comprehensive win for New England. So we'll talk about it right now. All right, Victor Ariza from The Striker joins us now. Hey, Victor, how are you?
Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
Good. Looking forward to talking to you about some Major League Soccer. But we're going to start with the Dynamo. And I've told people if they want to call in, they can jump in on the conversation. They're welcome to come in, and we'll take their calls. Some overall thoughts to you on the game in New England.
I think kind of the expected result, right? And I think, you know, as Ben Olsen had said before the game, the key here was to see if this team could show some progress in their second game. You know, maybe more chances, a better, you know, penetration in the attacking third. But, you know, they actually, I think a lot of people will agree with this. They looked a little worse, right, than they did in week one against Cincinnati. Obviously, teams now getting a little bit more into form. New England obviously has a, you know, former MLS MVP in Healy. They didn't even need Gustavo Bo, so I think that could have been an uglier game as well if he had played. But just overall, I think some of the same issues that, you know, we talked about last week and in previous years, really and truly, continue to be there. Sort of the lack of depth, maybe lack of an idea going forward, and just lack of options in the attack, right? Opening up on the wide game, getting chances to the number nine, which Olsen has made it clear he wants a true number nine. So getting him opportunities inside the box, whether it's O'Farson or whether it's Ferreira, continues to be a problem for Houston.
Yeah, penetration's the big word there. I don't think the Dynamo had a problem at times with getting the ball in the final third. Their numbers with final third entries are similar to New England's, but they just didn't have the game changers, right? They didn't have, in this space, Carlos Gil. They didn't have a Barrero. I mean, he is absolutely the type of prototype winger the Houston Dynamo need. And I think when we talk about Amin Bassi, and we haven't seen enough of him, there's no question, and Ivan Franco, they don't seem to be wingers that take people on off the dribble and beat somebody and draw another person to the ball and break lines and you know, put a dent in the structure of an opponent's team shape. It just doesn't seem to be there, and I don't know who that player is going to be. And I think to your point also, without that width, without that penetration. By the way, Ben Olsen talked to me about width a lot against FC Cincinnati. You know, we have to get it wide. I mean, the best wide man in this game, really, was Tate Schmidt for the Houston Dynamo, who had eight crosses. He was your best wide man on the day.
The previous game was Quiñones, right, coming on late maybe, and then, you know, this game we sort of saw him, but he didn't really play the same role.
Well, what the heck was he doing? I mean, I call him this game, and he goes central. I, you know, you would think the last thing that, you know, it's, hey, get wide when we have the ball, get isolated, go one-on-one, penetrate, get behind somebody. And all of a sudden, I see him in the interior of midfield. Everybody's going central, and it's just thick with blue New England jerseys. You're not going to go down the middle on them. You've got to go around them and get behind them somehow. I didn't understand that. That was very confusing to me. By the way, one shot between Sebas and Thor, your two center forwards, over 90 minutes. Do you really think the Dynamo created a clear chance in this game? I don't think so. Maybe the Schmidt cross to Ivan Franco. That was a beautiful piece of delivery from Tate Schmidt. But the header was right at Petrovic. But I, that's the thing. I don't see clear chances. I don't see big chances.
Yeah, no, I was going to bring up the same point. That, to me, is what stands out. I mean, for all the numbers that we see, that's really the only a big opportunity. Maybe, like you mentioned, the Herrera free kick right before the end of the half. And, you know, other than maybe that Franco opportunity, the only other good opportunities so far in the two games have been set pieces, right? The Herrera free kick in both games. Obviously, they scored off a corner against Cincinnati, but it doesn't seem like they're just able to create options. Again, the wide players, I mean, I zero in also on Corey Baird, because this was a guy that was brought back with the high belief that he was going to produce. And we, I think for an MLS veteran, have seen very little from him. Not the only one, right? I think also maybe in defense, there's a, you know, maybe lack of leadership. I don't know who's the one true leader. You know, maybe, I don't know if that's supposed to be Steve Clark, kind of, you know, organizing his back four, or if it's teenage Jarebe who has to sort of evolve into
Well, I think it's got, I think it's gotta be. Now, it doesn't mean he's capable of being the leader, and that's not a slight on teenage. Because some people are different in their roles as leaders. Some do it as a player. Some do it vocally. Some do it a combination. But, you know, it's got to be him because he's your DP. It's not Ethan Bartlow yet. He's still trying to work himself into MLS. He's been a little bit unsteady, I think. I mean, obviously, Steve Clark has a ton of experience. To your point about Corey Baird, he had two crosses. But Corey Baird's game is not beating people off the dribble. Corey Baird's game is beating people off work ethic, movement, mobility, and getting behind people. And I just don't see enough of him getting behind defenses and being supplied. 10 crosses for Hector Herrera, 8 for Tate Schmidt, who was getting forward, who really brought you most of your width. 2 crosses for Corey Baird, 1 for Nelson Quiñones, who inexplicably went into the middle of the field. I don't know what that was about. And then 3 crosses for Griffin Dorsey. The Dynamo went almost the entire second half without a shot. I think Hector Herrera had one early, and after that, I don't think they had a shot. Now, you may correct me on that. But, you know, when it's that hard to create chances, if you go down to teams, it's going to be hard for you to get back into games. And well, I get it. I get it's a work of progress and all of that. But, you know, I really think a lot's going to lie on you know, how much Ivan Franco and how much Amin Bassi can come through as big signings.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I when I look at this team, I don't see where the creativity come in, right? I know they got the 3 guys in midfield, but, you know, how are you going to get forward with those 3 guys? I still think, and just my personal opinion, especially when you're going up against so many quality teams in this league, to have Herrera up the field, I think, you know, you could be neutralizing that player, right? Like in this case, Carlos Hill, you're not going to completely neutralize him, but I think you could do a better job if you maybe use Herrera more in that role. He gets less tired, right, as the game goes on. Maybe he's able to give you more quality chances later in the game. The other thing is, you know, I was listening earlier, right? You talk about Ten Hag, right, and his comments after the game. To me, and again, this is not a slight on any of the prior coaches, but I don't think we've had a coach here that sort of, I'm not saying necessarily throw the players under the bus, but I don't know if there's a sense of urgency, at least even just publicly, right, to fire up players, to ask more of them. I think that's part of the problem that's been here with the culture, right? There's been a talk about a change in culture, and I think that in a sense, it's, you know, because some of these games, right, as they go on, the lack of progress is also because there really isn't, I think, an accountability there from that sense. There isn't a...
Well, it's a new coach, 13 new players, so everybody's getting used to each other. And I agree with you, but it's hard
positive.
To be... I think we have to be fair here because it is hard to be autocratic when you're just developing a team and developing relationships. But it seems like we've been in a perpetual rebuild, right? Because it's almost like it was last year, right? Except with some new faces, right? We're still wondering where we're going to get width from, who's going to be our playmaker, who's going to be that guy that's going to make a play and win you the game at the end. And look, we're playing Coco Carrasquilla's extended now higher up the field, but I don't know if that's, you know, he's not an out and out playmaker, right? Like he's all of a sudden going to score 8 goals and get you 14 assists. Right, because it's not the position that he's played in before. So I don't know. I don't know if it's, you know, I think players have to emerge. It's not the end of the world yet. But, you know, I think to a lot of fans, when you've had this run of 9 years here, it is the end of the world to some of them. And I'm not sure everybody realizes that. And to your point, that word urgency.
That's it. I think it's just having a team on the field that looks competitive, right? At least, again, you can see something different. You can see a team that, you know, is at least capable of getting something out of a game. This game against New England, you know, there was talk about possible snow, all that stuff. That didn't even come into play. They had, as clean a weather as they could have asked for. And this was, you know, with the conditions, I think, an accessible game. So at least get a goal in here, again, see some progress from the prior game in Cincinnati. You know, maybe the more we look back into that Cincinnati game, again, had Cincinnati converted his shots, maybe we'd have a different outlook than what we came away with. And it's not like this problem of dealing with talented playmakers on other teams is going to go away. Austin and Drewsy are going to come in next week.
Drewsy didn't even travel, I don't think, down to the Dominican Republic. And they lost 3-0 tonight in the CONCACAF Champions League to the Haitian team Violet. So, you know, they're going to lick their wounds. They're coming down to earth real fast after that. And by the way, that is one of three games Austin FC is playing before they will play the Dynamo on opening day. So Austin has to come back this weekend, play Real Salt Lake. They have to play the Haitian team again in the second leg, down 3 goals. How much effort and energy are they going to put into that during the week ahead of playing the Dynamo? So they're going to play 3 games to Dynamo's none heading into that home opener. So that sets up pretty well for the Dynamo, I think.
Right, and Austin has a few problems at center back right now, right? So it's not like Austin's necessarily at full strength there. I mean, that should be a get-right game for Houston. But if it's not, right, I think a lot of fans will really start to feel that disappointment if, you know, because at the end, the excuse here, maybe it's all they're on the road, right, to start the season. You know, these are essentially games out in the East. Can you win your home games? Can you win games in your conference? And, you know, if that starts to kind of go south, I think that's where the worry is going to just pick up a little more. But, you know, they got time to fix it. And I think certainly some of the injuries haven't helped, but I mean, that's also part of preparation, right? Some of these signings have gotten here late. Will they turn good? That's the other question, right? You know, was Bossy going to be able to be consistent and be, you know, the team leader and assist? Because I think that's sort of what we're expecting him to be. If he's going to be a successful signing, you know, Franco Escobar, is he going to be healthy or is this just a knock here at the beginning of the season? All these questions, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, we won't know until a couple months ahead of time. And by then, you know, it's a different task to try to fix all this right in the summer. I think we've seen that before.
All good points, Victor. Thank you very much for coming on. And, you know, there are subtleties that you can look at even in the early stages of a season that you got to, you know, dig into and talk about and debate and see where it's all going to go. But definitely the Dynamo will have time preparing for Austin FC. Victor, thank you very much for coming on tonight.
No, thank you, Glenn. Anytime.
All right. That's Victor Ariza, striker, very good writer. All right. We got Danny Gonzalez coming up talking about what it's like to be at a World Cup final. I have been to one, believe it or not. It was not in Qatar. But we're going to come back. We're going to continue on. By the way, right now, as we go to break here, courtesy of Advantage BMW in Midtown, we're going to give tickets away for the Dynamo Austin FC. Caller number 5 at 713-780-3776. Give us a call right now, 713-780-3776. Pair of tickets, Dynamo Austin FC.
Wheel. Fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big thank you to everybody tuning in here today. A reminder for Advantage BMW in Midtown. You get down to 1305 West Gray Street in Midtown. It's about 6 miles from our studio here. Tremendous place to go if you want to get into a luxury vehicle, a BMW. It's Advantage BMW in Midtown. You go down, talk to Justin, you talk to Steven. They'll get you in a certified pre-owned, or brand new BMW. Lease, buy, whatever, whatever's right for your situation. And they can help you with that. Vantage BMW Midtown, longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. As we continue on, we welcome you back to the show. Another reminder on the Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic that'll be taking place this Sunday. I'm repeatedly trying to bring this up throughout the show tonight. The soccer clinic's going to take place March 12th, 3 to 5:30, Dice Park. You go up 290 in the Cypress area. And this is, again, another Houston soccer community event. It's a soccer clinic, basically, for 2.5 hours. It is hosted by Dynamo Soccer Club, okay? All the proceeds benefit the Snowdrop Foundation for pediatric cancer. It's open to all soccer players. So you want to go there, you want to do some extra technique work. It's a lot of small-sided games. It's a lot of fun. You sign up, you get out there, there'll be a lot of different guests, et cetera. And it's a great day of playing. And if you're in town and you haven't gone out of town for spring break, it's a perfect thing to do. And parents, you're committing to something that's pretty exceptional when it comes to the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation and pediatric cancer. And yeah, we're trying to get the numbers boosted up a little bit. So if you can consider being a part of it, we'd love for you to be a part of it. You register by going to dynamosoccer.com. Again, that's dynamosoccer.com. That is the number to go to. Okay. The email, website to go to. All right. Some scores around Major League Soccer. San Jose 2-1 over Vancouver, Seattle 2-0 over Real Salt Lake, Colorado and Sporting Kansas City, 0-0. William Yarborough in that game for the Rapids had 11 saves. He was a guy that the Dynamo were looking at. Chicago won. New York City FC won. Fabian Herbers, the tying goal in that one for Chicago. We also had an FC Dallas 3-1 win over the LA Galaxy. Two goals for Jesus Ferreira. One from Alan Velasco. By the way, Memo Rodriguez, the former Dynamo, started for the LA Galaxy. I think it went about 60 minutes in that one. I did not see the game. Austin FC got that late goal from Maxi Arruti off the bench. Austin FC, 1-0 victory over Montreal, quickly came down to earth today. Now, by the way, as we talk about Austin FC, and Victor had mentioned they had center back issues because Julio Cascante got injured. They started Alexander Ring in that game. There was a big circle, and this was a point of contention, who was going to play center back with Leo Vasanen, who has replaced Ruben Gabrielsen, who was so good for them last year. I mean, a quiet leader. He was. I called him Major League Soccer's version of Virgil van Dijk is kind of what I called him. But there was some controversy about if Alexander Ring was going to play there and, you know, where Ring wanted to be positionally. He played center back, and he was outstanding. Outstanding. Solid pro. But that's sometimes the give and take between a coach to get somebody to play a position maybe that they don't want to play, right? There's a lot of that sort of negotiation that goes on. This is a veteran. Maybe, you know, he's got reasons he might not want to play back there. And a coach says, look, you have to do it for us. And maybe he's thinking as a veteran, well, it's somebody else's turn to be the versatile filling guy. I want to be here. That's the give and take. Now, they go into CONCACAF, and they go into CONCACAF, and tonight they go to the Dominican Republic. They couldn't play the game in Haiti. It's a team called Violet. They lose 3-0. 3-0. When you look at the lineup, it's a totally makeshift lineup. And it's a lineup that you're looking at and you're going, okay, Josh Wolf is really thinking ahead here, right? He thinks he's going to be able, against a Haitian team, to get away with a very mixed lineup that has not played probably with each other in a lot of areas. And this is the gamble you might have to take. He doesn't bring Driussi on the trip. If he plays his full team, he gets a result down there, I believe. You're certainly not going to lose 3-0. So now you've got a bigger problem because now you got to come back. You got to play Real Salt Lake on the weekend. You got to travel there. Then you have to come back midweek next week and play the Haitian team again. And you're down 3 goals. So lots of differing challenges that people have to go through in order, you know, to make these decisions. So that's the challenges that Major League Soccer coaches have, and that's what happens when you are successful. You get into all these different tournaments, and you're now stretched, and you got to hope that your roster has a lot of depth. FC Cincinnati, Orlando City, 0-0 in Florida. Red Bulls in Nashville, 0-0 in Harrison, New Jersey. Inter Miami, 2-0 over the Philadelphia Union. That's two in a row over for Inter Miami. They've got a full 6 points. Quarantine Gene and Robert Taylor with the goal. I do believe we have the Robert Taylor goal that in a minute we'll play here. This was a heck of a volley. This was Robert Taylor became a volley king when he hit this. But we'll play that sound in a second here. But that's a good result for Inter Miami, who now have a full 6 points under Gary Neville. So that's what you got there. Atlanta and Toronto FC, 1-1. And Columbus, the return of Lucas Zelarayan, had a pair in that one. Chucho Hernandez had an assist. With those two players, I'm thinking, you know, Columbus has got to hit some form here at some point. So New England, Inter Miami, Seattle, St. Louis have all taken 6 points. So they have 6 points, winning all their games so far. Vancouver, L.A., Charlotte, Montreal, the Dynamo, yet to earn their first point in 2023. Lots of talk about Lionel Messi to Major League Soccer. A lot of different things that are going on in and around the league. All right, let's go to Danny Gonzalez, who joins us now. Danny, what's happening?
How you doing, Lynn? How are you?
I am very good. All I want to do is tee this up to you, and I want you to talk about the experience that you had going to the World Cup final in Qatar, you being an Argentine, you seeing Messi lift the World Cup, the pride you felt, what it was like. Take us through it.
Well, you know, I almost, you know, got to work there, but I couldn't because I had some family issues. So I bought a ticket, one of those conditional tickets back in July that I actually, subscribed to two drawings. One was from Argentina in the final, and then I took, you know, the big chance of United States in the final. But I was worried, you know, with the Argentinian on the final, so I had only a few days, 5 days, you know, to move over there, and which I did. I took a flight, and it was unbelievable. It was an unbelievable experience, and the reason is there were a lot of Argentinian shirts there, but only 20% of the people with the Argentinian shirts, they were from Argentina. Mostly they went from different countries, you know, really wishing, you know, that Messi will get his first World Cup, you know. That was something that, like, you know, people wanted to recognize Messi for all those years, you know, with happiness for the people who love soccer. And so it was a wonderful experience, you know. It was unbelievable. Totally different than many other countries who host World Cups, because, you know, out of country, you know, there were a lot of restrictions, you know, no alcohol, pretty much no parties, you know, a lot of rules, you know, with the government and the religion. So, but it was fun because I went there for soccer, you know. I didn't want to do anything else, you know, and I got my wish. So that was awesome.
Danny, did you shed a tear when Argentina won it? I'm just curious because you Argentines are emotional people.
Yes. You know, we have to say, Argentinian people, we always suffer with the national team. Every game we play, we always suffer. We really don't enjoy, you know, the game itself, because there is always suffering. Just look at what happens. I mean, with the Netherlands, they were winning 2-0 and they tied. Same thing with France. So there is never a 90 minutes of enjoyment when you're a fan of Argentina. I enjoyed the first half. That was, you know, that's my best recollection, you know, that I was so happy. Argentina was very dominant, and the score was 2-0. So everything was, you know, was on the up and up and easy going. And then the second half, everything changed. And then, you know, the vision started getting blurry again, like always, you know. Look at what happens in the final of 1986. Same thing, you know, winning 2-0, then Germany came back. They tied the game. So it's always like that for Argentina. It's never an easy game.
What a memorable moment. We're talking to Danny Gonzalez, great friend of mine. He's been in the media covering the Dynamo and sports here in Texas. Incredible career, all different. Was it Telemundo or Televisa or Univision?
No, Univision. I was in Telemundo for many years.
Telemundo Rockets announcer in Spanish.
I was the lucky guy. I was there for the two championships as an announcer, and I was also the announcer for the Houston Astros in '94 and '95. Not bad for a former soccer player.
You had an outstanding career in TV, but you also became a successful restaurateur. You had a great soccer bar called Estadio. I mean, you've done a lot of really interesting, different things. Danny, I was just kind of laughing because I remember when Argentina got to the World Cup, and I said, man, I'm going to give Danny a call. And you go, hey, I'm on my way to Qatar. I think you were at the airport when you picked the phone up.
Yes, I was really excited, and once we get to the final and the way the Argentina beat Croatia, I said, you know, we really had a good chance. This final was, you know, was a payback for what happens, you know, on the previous World Cup. So. You know, having Messi in his best form and with all the backings. Remember, I saw all the games, all the group games, and all the quarterfinals and the semifinals. I saw them on TV right here in Houston, you know. And once I saw the changes of Argentina after the loss of Saudi Arabia, they said, you know, we really have a chance. And, you know, even though this was a great World Cup, you know, people talk about, you know, it was the best final ever, which I couldn't really notice because, like I said, you know, I was suffering in the second half and the overtime and in the penalties. When you do that, you know, you really, miss the excitement of the party. But, I really felt, you know, that this was the Leo Messi World Cup. And to see, Glenn, people from so many different countries with a Messi shirt and chanting Messi, Messi, Messi.
The world wanted Messi to win this World Cup. I agree with you. The world wanted Messi to win it, and I think a lot of that is not only for the outstanding soccer skills, but I think the humility piece, because he's a very different star athlete, I think.
Totally. Totally different, you know, than the Maradona, or, you know, you name it. I mean, this guy, you never heard of him, you know, that he was in a party or he was in a discotheque. No, he's a family man, you know. He enjoys his three kids, his wife. He's a very low-key lifestyle. I think that relates to a lot of people, especially, you know, today's, the way that the world is going. So, you know, really people relate to him, and they want him to win. Because if Messi wins, in a way, you know, they
the
win.
World kind of won, didn't it? Didn't it? The sports world won. Yeah. Danny, listen, we're going to roll. We got to go. We're going to move on because we have one caller here that we're going to give a pair of Dynamo tickets to. But I want to thank you very much for recounting your experiences. I think those are great. And by the way, you and I know Messi respects the game so much, and that's another just feather in his cap. Thank you for coming on tonight, Danny.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you very much, and you have a great evening.
All right. He's the one and only Danny Gonzalez. We appreciate that. That was a great, great story about him getting to go over there. And as I watched that World Cup final, I was thinking of all my Argentine friends in Houston, including him. Let's go to Murad real quick here before we hit a break. Murad, what's on your mind?
Yeah, well, good, Glenn. How are you doing?
I'm good. Talk to me. What do you got?
So I was just want to talk of Dynamo, a little bit of Dynamo. I don't think you guys gone too much Dynamo yet. You're talking about Argentina, but, you know, not the great start to the season from Houston Dynamo. Well, first of all, I want to introduce myself. I run the Twitter space, the Twitter space over here on Twitter, Soma713 Twitter spaces. We do post-match coverage
of
the games, and we get the fans' opinions. So basically...
Hey, by the way, thanks. Murad, thanks for doing that. And what I've always extended to people doing podcasts and stuff like you, come on the show and have a take, and then you can promote what you're doing out there. I mean, we want guys like you to call in that have a take on the game. So carry on.
Yeah, thank you, Glenn, for that. So basically, not the greatest start from Houston Dynamo. You know, a lot of fans, you know, very disappointed for how we started the season, and rightly so. I mean, the last game is a bit, you know, is a bit shocking from how we played, especially the complete, you know, just give up by the Dynamo in the second half. You know, we conceded two. Dorsey didn't have a great game. So, and then, you know, we have, and I was thinking to myself, you know, just, you know, all is forgiven. You know, if we win it on the whole opener against Austin FC in 2 weeks' time. So do you have the same, you know, type of feeling with yourself? I don't know. Like, I haven't seen much opinions coming from you on Twitter, but I feel like you would have the same sentiments. Of course, not the start, but, you know, all is forgiven if we beat Austin on next Saturday. Not this Saturday, next Saturday.
Yeah,
do you have the same feeling?
I mean, look, I don't know about, you know, I don't think that look, it's one game, and it's two games so far. It's a small sample size. Look, it's easy to condition it with a lot of new players and a new coach. You have to factor that in if you're being fair in the assessment. I do think the roster on paper is better simply because of the Escobar signing and the Artur signing. But to me, the two areas that have not been addressed is the wide game. You got a great example of that from Dylan Barrero of Colombia. That's the type of player the Dynamo need out wide in order to unlock the potential of center forward. Sebas and Thor had one shot in this game, I think, combined. So center forwards are not being serviced, and you don't have an out-and-out playmaker, and I don't know if that's fair to ask Coco to do that. So I think there's a lot of things with the roster and personnel that's going to have to work out. And again, I said at the very beginning of the season, put a circle around the Ivan Franco signing and the Amin Bassi signing, because those are signings that have to come good from the playmaking standpoint. But I don't think they are really out-and-out wide guys that can dribble, that can beat people, that can create two-on-ones, that can break lines, that can alter an opponent's team shape. So that, to me, is going to be a challenge, because your big money asset up front needs that type of player around him in order to get the best out of him. He's a penalty box guy. He's a finisher. He's you know, Sebas is not the best at coming back to the ball and providing the hold-up play. So to unleash the potential of your strikers, there's got to be more wide. So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, in all fairness, it's being put together. That may not mean a lot to the long-serving Dynamo fan who's, you know, had a rough go the last 9 years, and I think that's fair to the long-serving Dynamo fan. But that's just where we are. And a win over Austin FC could change the mood dramatically. I don't think there's any question. I think it's going to be exciting on opening day. When we get off right now, because we're going to go to a commercial break, what I need you to do is stay on the line, give us your name, your number, your contacts. Guillermo will take those, and we'll get you a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Austin FC. How's that?
Appreciate it, Glenn. I actually have one question for you before, you know, we go into commercial.
Okay.
Do you think it was justified for Ben Olsen to drop Sebastian Ferreira against New England Revolution? Do you think that, you know, it was right? It was a good decision by Ben Olsen to drop him, even though he didn't make a big impact in the first game of the season? Or do you think that, you know, Sebas hasn't been given the service that he deserves in that first game against Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that are going on. I mean, I think a coach is trying to figure things out. He's creating relationships with people. You know, he's your designated player. You got to get production out of him. But I don't think it's been easy for either center forward in these first two games. I don't think it has been easy. I mean, against Cincinnati, everything Sebas got was coming back to the ball in midfield. And I think sometimes when center forwards are not involved in a game, they do everything they can to try and get themselves in the game. And that means going to seek the ball in different areas of the field. Murad, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Stay on the line. We'll get him some tickets. These are great questions. I mean, nobody should be upset about this. We're just talking about a team that we want to improve. And, you know, we all care about the MLS product in Houston. We want it to get better. But, you know, it's tough. It's tough. And it's real easy to condition it and say it's the early season. And that's also fair because it's a new coach. It's a new staff. It's new players. But, you know, you want to get out of the blocks with some positivity. I think we focus on the Austin FC game and getting a result there. All right, we're going to take a break here. This is Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, big event coming up March 12th. It is at Dias Park. It is Kick Cancer, and it is going to be hosted. Now, this is remarkable. This is legendary in our soccer community. This will be hosted by Cyfair Dynamos, a historic youth club in this city that was formed in 1989. They will host Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic using all their staff. All the proceeds go back to the Snowdrop Foundation. It's only $50 for the 17th consecutive year. Now think about that. So big thank you to Cyfair Dynamos. 17 consecutive years. And their head man comes on right now. He's a former Houston hotshot. You may have seen him play back in the Summit in the day. He is Olivier Finidori. Olivier, thank you very much for joining us to talk about something so important. How about 17 straight years hosting this? Thank you.
Well, Glenn, first off, thank you very much for having me out here. But 17 years, this is how long you've been running the event. And that's when Marty Espinosa and myself went in and helped you out in several locations in Houston. That's really before the Dynamo Soccer Club truly got involved. So 17 years, that's on you, Mr. Glenn Davis. And I'm very honored to have been able to help you in that venture. But as far as the Dynamo's Club, yeah, we're probably looking at about 15 years since we've been running that event. And we're looking forward to keep on going for many years to come as well.
It's been a great community event, and the Houston soccer community gets behind it again. It's March 12th. It'll be, you know, technique work, small-sided games. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to put the kids through when it comes to the paces and the enjoyment of the day, obviously for a bigger meaning.
Of course. I mean, the thing is, you know, of course they're going to be playing soccer. We're going to have a great time. There's going to be some professional staff, you know, from just about any club, really. Everybody can be involved. This is not a Dynamos event. This is a Kick Cancer Camp event. It's about the kids. It's about raising awareness and raising funds for this charity, obviously, the Snowdrop Foundation, and to help those children. But as far as what we're going to try to do, obviously, we really want to send a strong message to all those that participate. And those kids, they really buy into what we're trying to promote here. You know, they always get very inspired by the guests that we have that talk about their story, the survivors that are out there sharing their stories. Everybody's always very inspired. And then, you know, we just take that and we get on the field. And you know, the practice are very dynamic. It's a lot of games. I mean, yes, of course, we do a little teaching, you know, as far as skills and everything else. But it's mainly about getting engaged, being dynamic, playing, having a great time and playing, you know, in the great atmosphere, in a great environment.
He's Olivier Finidori. He heads up Cyfair Dynamos for a 15th consecutive year. They will be hosting and have been involved for 17 years. Kick Cancer Soccer Clinics. All the proceeds will go back to the Snowdrop Foundation. Of course, we think of a lot of our great friends of soccer that have helped out at this event. Obviously, you mentioned Marty Espinosa, Joby Napier, so many people, all the cancer patients that are connected to this. We'll have guest speakers out there as well. I plan on being there. I'm looking forward to it. Cyfair Dynamos, you can sign up for this at dynamosoccer.com, dynamosoccer.com. It's right there, smack in front of you. It's only $50. If you can't come, you donate $50. We'll bring somebody who's in need that will come to the camp. But Olivier, I can't thank you enough for the consistency and the consistent commitment your club has made.
Well, thank you, Glenn. Again, like I said, you're the one that's been pushing this, and we've been behind you all the time. You know how much we believe in this and in this concept and everything else. You know that just like many, you know, it's not just the Dynamo Soccer Club personally, obviously, lost many, many close ones to cancer from family and friends, and it's something that affects all of us. So very proud and very honored to be part of this.
All right, so one more time, I'm going to wrap it up for you here, but it's Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic Sunday, March 12th. It's from 3 to 5:30, Dias Park. It will benefit Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity. You're going to get all kinds of people at the camp. We'll get some pro players out there, ex-pros, you name it. Olivier will be there, Mark Wilkinson, Roland Sickinger, key members of their staff. And by the way, we always thank your staff for coming out here and doing this on their own dime. We appreciate that very much. Again, it's Sunday, March 12th, 3 to 5:30. You sign up at dynamosoccer.com. That's dynamosoccer.com. Let's get together. Let's kick cancer.
Yes, let's get out in numbers, guys. Everybody come and join us. It'll be a great day.
All right, you got the personal invite from Olivier and myself. It's dynamosoccer.com for the Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic. And again, all the proceeds will benefit the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation. Now, I will also remind you, you can support by buying a Soccer Matters t-shirt and a Lamont Brands Soccer Matters trucker hat. So you go to lamontbrands.com, lamontbrands.com. Big thank you tonight to all our great sponsors, including Advantage BMW down in Midtown. Go down there and see Justin and Steven, get yourself in the ultimate driving machine service. The way they take you through the process, exceptional. It's Advantage BMW in Midtown. Also, Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. My great friend, Jan Christensen. He's a Liverpool fan, too. I mean, he was blowing my phone up on Sunday. Every single time there was a goal. And I'm like, yeah, and I'm watching the game. I got it. I'm watching the game, too. I'm watching the game. And I was like, don't text me anymore. I'm going to miss looking at the television and miss one of the goals because they were raining. All right, that'll do it for tonight. Producer extraordinaire, Andrew Carlson. Guillermo, big ups to Guillermo for all his work here tonight. We appreciate all the guests. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davisock, at Soccer Matters GD. And on behalf of all of you who have listened in tonight or listen via podcast at ESPN975.com, remember, soccer matters.